the great Roman army called the legionaries, they used to they used to tell each other strength and honor. That was the refrain that they used when one soldier saw another soldier. Strength and honor, Terry. That's strength and honor music right there.
Fires me up, man.
Yep, and I'm reporting for duty.
I'm reporting to duty, Jesse. We have a really special show today. Not just because Senator Ron Paul is going to give us a little video clip on showing how he's trying to get a support for a life at conception act that would be a simple bill, effectively bypassing Roe versus Wade. Wait till you hear that. That's going to be good. Also, Jesse, we're going to talk about the country of Russia. They were the first country to legalize abortion. And this is an interesting story because a lot of it I didn't even know until I read that article. And then finally, we're a team playing organization here at Virgin Most Powerful. Right. Michael Voris, our good friend from Church Militant, he's going to join us every Wednesday for the last segment to talk about the news program that he's doing daily. And this is the news that you want to hear every single day, because after I hear it, I usually go, man, I'm going to be praying harder. I got to offer my sacrifices. Man, I got to suit up because the church is in need of saints, and I've got to be one of those. So Michael Voris will join us to talk about what he's going to be talking about on the news for today on Church Militant. Jesse, before we get to any of that, the most important thing we do is we give you some soul food, which is from the readings at Mass. So, Jess, could you do that for us, please?
Absolutely. Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Gospel of Mark today at Holy Mass.
Yep.
The disciples were on the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. Taking the 12 aside again, he began to tell them what was going to happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit upon him, scourge him, and put him to death. But after 3 days, he will rise. By the way, what I just read right there is what the Catholic Church is going through right now. The Catechism says that the church, the mystical body of Christ, will undergo our own persecution.
Yep.
It's in the Catechism. This is what's happening right now. The church is walking the Via Dolorosa. It continues. Then James and John, sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you want me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit at one at your right and the other at your left." And Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Can you drink the chalice that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The chalice that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt." Reminds me of what that verse basically means is government and even religious leader overreach.
Yeah,
that's what that an overlord is, a tyrant. Government overreach, such as, you know what, I'm a successor of the apostle.
Clericalism.
I don't like that you called out the Democrat Party for their pro-abortion antics, so I'm going to get rid of you. That's called being an overlord.
That's right.
That's what the Bible denounces. Overlords, like Joe Biden, okay? All of a sudden, taking out every single pro-life legislation put on by President Trump.
Yep.
That's called being an overlord, a tyrant. And Christ denounces this. He says this. But it shall not be so among you. In other words, leaders, political bishops and politicians, don't be overlords. Don't be tyrants. That's what Jesus says. How did Jesus tell them to govern? Here's the way he tells them to govern. Bishops and politicians, especially Catholic politicians, our Lord says, "But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you," Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, "will be your servant," and U.S. bishops. "Whoever wishes to be the first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesse, just a quick note, because this ties into St. Bede, who we celebrated yesterday. And I did a little research on St. Bede. And at that time in the 8th century, the church was going through something similar to what we were going through right now, where the clergy were very, very weak and living worldly lives. And it was St. Bede that fired the lay people up to call the priests, the bishops, the pope, all of them to fidelity to their vocation. And I just find it interesting because Fulton Sheen said that just 40 years ago when he said it's the same. I wonder if he got it from St. Bede, because he said the laity are the ones who are going to call the church, you know, through its leaders to be holy and to live out their vocation. And we're doing the same thing here at Virgin Most Powerful. And I might add, Jesse, a lot of priests, a lot of bishops, they're not comfortable with what we're doing because we make them uncomfortable. And that's okay, because you know what? That's the role of the laity. When the priests, bishops are not acting like priests and bishops, we're going to call them out because it's part of our own calling as lay people. That bottom line is, if they don't like it, too bad, because we have your salvation at hand. We have nothing else other than we want people, all souls, to get to heaven, even those who are teaching heresy. We want them to repent and believe in the gospel. Amen.
Amen. St. Philip Neri,
pray
for us. That's his feast day today.
Oh, he was a great saint.
St. Philip Neri has been called the apostle, the second apostle of Rome after the great St. Paul.
Yeah.
St. Philip Neri was born in Florence. He lived for a time in his youth near the Monte Cassino.
Yep.
And he drank deeply from the life of the Benedictine prayer. He was ordained a priest at the age of 35, and by degrees, he took Rome by storm. he healed thousands of people in the confessional.
Yeah.
He comforted and spiritually directed countless other souls. He gathered his followers for the oratory. These were meetings that combined prayer and music, ending with almsgiving or pilgrimages to Rome's basilicas. He founded a congregation of priests to support the work of the oratory. St. Philip died in 1595 and was immediately acclaimed a saint by the Romans. He was known, Terry, to say, when he'd wake up in the morning, he'd say, "Lord, watch out, because you know, Philip woke up this
exactly.
morning."
In
other words, he was quick to accuse himself and really recognize how much of a sinner that he was.
And you know, Jesse, he also had a charism in Rome to get the teenagers and young adults back into the flock, because there was a lot of immoral living going on in Rome. Are you shocked? Yes, it was going on back then. It's still going on. But you see, God calls saints, and he's calling you, our listener, to be that saint, to live a holy life, to live in the state of grace. Because remember, Our Lady said it too, that souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. We were living in a time that's very similar to the 15th, 16th century, to the 7th and 8th century. Don't think this is unusual, everybody, that the church is a mess right now. We've been there and had that happen before. But you know what I noticed, Jess? God calls the saints to come and renew the church. He doesn't call someone to renew the earth, planet, okay, in the sense of getting a green earth. No, it's not our calling. Our calling is to renew for the salvation of souls, to get people back in the state of grace. That's what is going to be needing in the third millennial. That's my take.
Terry, you nailed it. This is exactly why God is allowing, his divine providence is allowing the chaos and the anarchy in politics and even in the church.
Yeah.
You know why he's doing that? He's waking us up from our slumber, and he wants us to pursue sanctity and holiness.
Amen.
God wants to make saints.
Exactly.
And nobody's going to think about becoming holy, Terry, if things are hunky-dory, if things are kosher. Nobody's going to strive for holiness, to do more prayer, more penance. But when you see the economy, inflation, when you see wars, when you see a stolen election, when you see corruption within the episcopacy, all these things make you realize, you know what? It's time to become holy, pursue a relationship with God, and spend a lot of time in prayer. This is why God is allowing this to raise saints right now in the 21st century.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. Fulton Sheen says the same thing, that God allows this for a greater good. Now, I want to bring the smartest guy into the room. Full Sheen ahead. It's quick, Jesse. He says this about priests. He said, "The priest who has not kept near the fires of the tabernacle can strike no sparks from the pulpit." And you know, Father James said the same thing to us 2 days ago. He spends time before that blessed sacrament. How does he get his confidence? How does he get out to preach? He's close to Jesus in the tabernacle. That's why we need to encourage Eucharistic adoration, not just among the priests, but for all of us, because as Bishop Strickland said, that's what gives him the courage to speak out as a bishop, his time spent before the Blessed Sacrament. All right, Jess, what do we got coming up when we get back?
Yeah, Terry.
This is good stuff you got.
We got a short little video from this. I'm impressed with the senator, Terry. Yeah. I'm telling you, this guy, we could use 100 Rand Pauls in the Senate. He's from Texas.
Yep.
And he's going to give a short little 3-minute video clip.
It's simple.
On why we need to build support for the Life at Conception Act. It's, and then after, also in the first segment, I'm going to give you an update. I've been texting back and forth with Father Frank Pavone. I'm going to give you an update on him. And
that's great.
And then, yeah. And then again, we're going to be talking about the history of where did abortion came from. Fatima warned us.
That's right.
Russia was spread her errors. One of the errors you're going to see was abortion. It started with the Bolshevik Revolution. And then finally at the end, Terry, people are going to hear our strength and honor
with
Michael Voris.
Yep.
If you like what you hear, then like us, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell to be notified, and share this show with others. Terry?
We still got room for the men's conference, folks. Ladies, sign your husband up for the men's conference by going to vmpr.org or call us at 877-526-2151. Stay with us. We'll come back with Senator Ron Paul to talk about how to stop the killing of innocent life.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We all must be pro-life so that we can reach eternal life.
Amen.
To quote the good sister, I'd like you to hear a clip from Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul. He's talking about the fact that we have to build support for the Life at Conception Act. It's a simple bill that effectively bypasses Roe versus Wade, which could ultimately end abortion on demand in our nation.
Please, God.
This could be done by Congress. Mr. Engineer, can you play the clip?
Hello, this is Senator Rand Paul. Will you help me in a bold and aggressive campaign to end abortion on demand once and for all? Since the Roe v. Wade decision in 1973, 9 unelected men and women on the Supreme Court have played God with innocent human life. They have invented laws that condemned more than 56 million babies to painful deaths without trial, merely for the crime of being inconvenient. But the good news is Congress has the power to legislatively overturn Roe v. Wade and end all abortion on demand. You see, when the Supreme Court invented the so-called right to an abortion, they left an opening for us in Congress to act on the question of when life begins. In Roe v. Wade, the court ruled, we need not resolve the difficult question of when life begins. The judiciary at this point in the development of man's knowledge is not in a position to speculate as to the answer. The court then admitted that if the personhood of an unborn baby is established, the right to abort collapses, for the fetus's right to life is then guaranteed specifically by the 14th Amendment. Now, what the court was saying, if you look through all the legal mumbo-jumbo, is that we in Congress have the power to legally define when life begins. The same judges who wrote Roe v. Wade actually admitted this. Of course, science has long held that life begins at conception. That's why I'm co-sponsoring the Life at Conception Act, which, by legally defining that life begins at conception, would simply bring the legal definition of life in line with the biological definition, in effect, overturning Roe v. Wade. That's why I hope I can count on you to sign special petitions for both your senators and your congressmen. And if at all possible, I hope I can count on you to make a generous contribution of $50 to the National Pro-Life Alliance's campaign to pass a Life at Conception Act and overturn Roe v. Wade. Your generous contribution of $50 or more will help pay for collecting petitions from up to 1 million Americans and for briefing hundreds of newspaper columnists, editorial writers, and talk radio hosts. The fact is that with enough pressure from dedicated pro-lifers on members of Congress from both parties, you and I can force every member elected as a pro-lifer to either end the slaughter now or face angry voters back home. I have to tell you, from my perspective as a pro-lifer in Congress, that every pro-lifer's activism is essential in our fight against abortion on demand. But I have especially come to appreciate the members of National Pro-Life Alliance. Their members nationwide are perhaps the most active and focused on the ultimate vision of eliminating abortion on demand, not just regulating it. In fact, it is primarily because of National Pro-Life Alliance members that the Life at Conception Act has an all-time record number of House and Senate sponsors. If you can help, just bring public opinion to bear on my colleagues in Congress. I'm convinced that we can get this bill to the forefront of the American debate and ultimately outlaw abortion once and for all. That's why it's vital you sign the petitions I mentioned at once, and please make this massive advertising and petition drive possible by sending a special contribution of $50 to the National Pro-Life Alliance.
Tell you one thing, Terry, that guy's very presidential in
my
book.
He sounded very presidential. But the thing that I like about this, Jesse, and they've said that when I watched Roe versus Wade movie, they even brought that up in the movie. That we're not saying we're life. Where does life begin? Well, in 1973, ultrasound machines weren't around. I mean, it's so obvious, Jess, that we have the technology. There's no ambiguity. Where's the science? The science shows that life begins at conception.
The science is on our side, and that's what Ben Shapiro even said about 2 or 3 years ago when he was invited at the March for Life in Washington. He had a big sign right behind him that says, science is on our side. And the left went crazy because they know it's true.
Yeah.
And Terry, I'll tell you this. I'm looking at a statistic here, horrible, that most abortions are unwanted or coerced by the men.
That's true.
These irresponsible men. Here's what they say. Hey, take care of it. Here's some money. I'll drop you off. Go take care of it. And here's another statistic that I didn't know.
What's that?
That women are 3.5 times more likely to die within a year after abortion.
Wow.
I never heard that before. I'll say it again. Women are 3.5 times more likely to die within a year after abortion. How is that good for women, Terry?
It's not.
And I'm looking at another statistic here about suicide, about teen suicide.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of it is connected to the whole industry of abortion. It says, Planned Parenthood cleverly lies to girls to think that abortion is an easy and harmless way to end an unwanted pregnancy. But eventually, all lies are exposed, and when a teenage mother finally finds out that her choice had arms and legs and eyeballs and fingers and feet and toes, the truth can hurt so bad that some girls will use any means to escape it, even suicide. It says, the most recent studies show that girls between 15 and 18 who abort a baby are more than twice as likely to experience depression, chronic anxiety, and suicidal thoughts than the average girl in the same range group. And some of them, Terry, this statistic comes from the American Life League here.
Yeah, these statistics you give, Jesse, are just the facts. And the facts are, these young girls have been lied to because many times, Jesse, as you know, at abortion clinics, they pressure these women. Say, oh, no, you don't have any other choice. Nope, you got to do it. You got to do it. And Abby Johnson and others that have come out to be pro-life from, you know, working with in the industry, they've shared the pressure that Planned Parenthood puts on these young women. But I want to say, if you've had an abortion or maybe a young man and now you're older and you participated in that abortion, there is mercy through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Get the confession soon. Get to Priests for Life, Father Frank Pavone's organization. Go on retreat. Name that baby. There's a process of healing when you do participate in the killing of innocent life. But there is hope in Jesus Christ.
That's right. That was even the first reading today at Holy Mass from the book of Sirach.
Yeah.
It says, look upon us, Lord. Show us the light of your mercy.
Mm-hmm.
It says, it also says, show mercy to the people called by your name, who you named your firstborn. God is all about mercy, but the Bible also said in the first reading that for those, Terry, who don't want God's mercy, it says this, for you are ever gracious to your people, Lord, and lead us in the way of justice, for you are the eternal God. So for those who don't want mercy, Terry, yeah, there will be justice. Let me give a quick update on Father Frank Pavone.
Please do.
Who's one of the greatest pro-life generals in the Catholic Church, who just had open-heart surgery and he's recovering. He says, he texts me, he says, here's an update, Jesse, that you can share with the audience. The doctors and nurses continue to be very happy with the progress of my recovery. The cardiologist is making sure that the heart is in normal rhythm. The surgeon is making sure that the incisions are healing properly. I am doing breathing and walking exercises to regain my strength. I still have certain limits of movements as the healing continues. The normal recovery process involves about another 6 weeks. Thank you for your thoughts and prayers, Father Frank Pavone.
Oh, we all want to be continuing to pray for Father Frank Pavone. Go to his website, Priest for Life. Send him a little donation saying, Father, we're with you. Because I'll tell you, that organization is doing great work for the church. As a matter of fact, you know who said that? St. John Paul II said that to Father Frank Pavone back in the 1980s.
Terry, another person we should recommend for you to help out at this time right now is Father Altman.
Yep.
LifeSite News has an article. They have the links where you can help Father Altman's canon lawyer expense.
That's right.
Because I'm just guessing he's probably cut off from his little small priestly salary.
Of course. And here's a number I'm going to give again for Father Altman, 608. This is the Diocese of La Crosse. 608-788-7700. Give them a call and voice your opinion that, you love Father James Altman and that he is a man after our own heart and he's willing to speak the truth. There's a great article I want to recommend on Crisis Magazine by Father Dwight Longnecker. He wrote an article about the two Jameses, Father James Altman and Father James Martin. Mm-hmm. And he made some really valid points, Jesse. He said, look, you've got Father Altman who's speaking the truth in charity, telling people the truth about the gospel, whether it's saying things about you can't be a Catholic and a Democrat. But then you've got Father James Martin who's preaching a heretical teaching on homosexuality, and he gets lifted into organizations up in the Vatican, and he's still preaching that heresy. And he said it's just an irony to look at the two Jameses. So go to Crisis Magazine. It's a very interesting article. That's my recommendation.
Yeah, Terry, and I'll tell you, this is the most important issue of the day.
Yep.
This is why, again, I'm even looking here at a list of bishops.
Yeah.
Quite a large list of bishops that say that this is the most essential issue of our day is the issue of stopping abortion.
Well, think about it, Jesse. How many millions of babies have been killed every year for 50-some years? I mean, it doesn't take a brain surgery, a scientist, to figure that out. That's why when I hear people say things like, well, we want to talk, Jesse, we got to talk about the environment. Really? Tell me about the environment, dude. And I'll even say this, Jesse, it's not politically correct. Tell me how many condemned killers in jail are being capitalized, a capital punishment to them. Tell me how many, brother Jess, do you know how many every year?
It's like about 25 to 35 a year around the
Is that
entire
25
country.
Million or 1,000? Or
No, 25 people are executed. About 25 to 35 in the entire United States a year are executed on death row. And Terry, when you look at these people, they've had due process, they've had the appellate court hearings, they've had Supreme Court hearings.
Yes.
And these people, to be honest with you, I'm not saying they can't get to heaven and have a St. Dismas moment.
No,
but their life on earth, Terry, was monstrous. It was a monstrosity, the things that they've done. It was hideous, Terry. It doesn't mean they can't be saved. They could have a St. Dismas moment. But again, even the thief on the cross, Terry, when you read in the book, in the Gospel of Luke, where he talks about the fact that he's been being put to death, he doesn't rail against the Roman authorities. He says to the other thief, he goes, we deserve this.
Yeah.
Then he looks at Jesus, he says, but he doesn't. So they even have a sense of justice.
Acknowledgement.
Like, you and me. Yeah, we deserve what Rome's doing to us, man, because we've deserved this. We had it coming.
And a quick story from the little flower who's a doctor of the church in the 1880s. She had been praying for a guy who was going to get the guillotine, capital punishment in France. And she had been saying, I want to pray for his conversion. Please, Jesus, I'll make all these sacrifices for that man. And the way it happened is before he was executed, they always give him an opportunity to go to confession, and the man finally repented moments before his death. And so the little flower shows us that's what we should be doing, is praying for these people who are on death row so that they can die in the state of grace.
Amen.
By our prayers and our sacrifices. When we come back, we'll have more here on the Terry and Jesse Show. We're going to talk about Russia and abortion. You'll be surprised what we have to say. Stay with us here on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us. Here's an article. It's called "The Soviet Union Was the First Country to Legalize Abortion, But the Resulting Social Culture Wasn't About Empowerment." So the article, it essentially talks about, again, following, you know, World War One, the Bolshevik takeover of Russia, and the Bolsheviks basically were the far left in Russia. They were led by Vladimir Lenin, and they favored revolution rather than gradual democratic change. And this revolution, it was a revolutionist socialist party that was formed in 1898. And the word Bolshevik is just another term in Russia for majority. But let me get right to the meat of the article where it talks about it. The meat of it is right here. Okay? It says, by late 1917, the Bolsheviks had tapped into enough working class anger to overthrow an autocratic regime that ruled clumsily and without regard for the people. Although Imperial Russia was formally an Orthodox state and abortions thereby illegal, underground procedures were rampant and accounted for the vast majority of the hospitalizations of pregnant women. Because living conditions was a key communist promise, by November 1920, the Bolsheviks had legalized the practice with the goal of improving women's health and keeping them employed. It was part of an effort to promote contraception and women's reproductive rights. One that even attracted the attention of American birth control activist Margaret Sanger during her visit in the early 1930s, when she called the Soviet Union the country of the liberated women.
Give me a break.
But even then, problems were becoming apparent. Historians say that while the legalization of the practice contributed to a precipitous drop in abortions performed outside state hospitals, it dramatically boosted the number of abortions themselves. And during the same trip, Margaret Sanger, though impressed with the state's drive to incorporate women into the workforce, expressed dismay over what she said was the tendency of Soviet doctors to rely on abortions as a mode of family planning. Then came Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin, whose more than 2.5-decade tenure was marked less by sticking to Bolshevik orthodoxy than by rigid personal rule. And in the name of boosting Soviet nationhood, he instituted an abortion ban that lasted around 20 years. Unsurprisingly, that led to a spike in illegal abortions and maternal deaths. But by the time it was legalized again in the mid-50s, abortion had become an integral part of the reproductive culture, despite the government's continued pursuit of pronatalist policies, much like Vladimir Putin, by the way, who's has pronatalist policies. It was compounded by the economic woes that left the average consumer out in the cold, with state funds funneled to the military or snatched away by corporate bureaucrats, just like here in America.
Yep.
Even the most basic needs, including condoms, were often unavailable or of low quality and uncomfortable. IUDs were hard to come by, like everything else in the Soviet economy, and women even attempted to avoid pregnancy via folk methods like washing after sex. Terry, you want to take it from there?
Yeah, I do. I just want to mention something. Father Paul Marks from Human Life International pointed out that Russia had the highest per woman abortion. The life of a normal Russian woman, she would have 8 abortions in her lifetime. This is shocking. Those numbers were terrible. But Jesse, what I will say this is, yes, it's still extremely widespread, as this lingering perception that abortion is necessary evil rather than a reflection of women's informed choices. Russians tend to believe more than Americans do that abortions are bad for you, says Leslie Root, a demographics researcher at the University of California, Berkeley.
Wow.
Still, the latest reliable figures we got from 2015 show that nearly 20 Russian women aged 15 to 44 out of 1,000 had abortions, compared to 11.8 in the United States. So today, Russia remains gripped in a cultural clash between the progressive values and the conservative morals-based approach championed by the powerful Russian Orthodox Church. Think about this, Jesse. It was only about 4 or 5 years ago, Putin put in a policy that if you'd have 4 children, they're going to give you money for having large families. Because they understand, Jesse, economies, the country cannot survive without bearing fruit. And that means children, because the old people are going to die. And what do you have after that? Not much.
Yeah. In fact, what you just said, I just lifted the article from Steve Mosher.
Yeah.
He wrote it back in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
He said, quote, Putin took the occasion of his annual State of the Nation address to issue a call for more children in Russia.
Of course.
Yeah. Here he says, a minimum of a 3-child family should become the norm in Russia. He says, since the average Russian woman has only 1 child, this would mean a considerable increase in fertility. Along with encouraging Russian women to have more children, he said Russia must look for ways to support and help them once they have had their children.
That's right.
And once again, he was giving people stipends.
That's good. Incentives.
Yeah,
financial.
A large financial stipend for having more children. And again, Russia's, there's another article here in 2013 that Russia, back in 2013, was considering banning abortions altogether, as it's decimating their population, Terry. So they seem to have more Christian sensibilities than we do. And I'll tell you why, because Putin is really listening to the Russian Orthodox Church, like you mentioned in that last chapter.
Absolutely. And you know, Jesse, just so that you have on this information, it looks like Nigeria will outpace the population, China or India, in the near future, because in Nigeria, they're still having children, and in China and in India, they're not. So it's just interesting. The world, out of about 190 countries, the statistics from here in this article show that about 160 nations aren't even reproducing enough to replace the people that are going to die. So you can see the world, and again, Jesse, I don't mean to keep beating on the drum on this, but it upsets me. Why are we putting so much emphasis on Mother Earth and telling me I need to have my solar panels up, or I need to be throwing my plastic bottles, as we stop, as each of these, most of the countries in the world are killing their future citizens? And what would we say to a group of people who are killing their future citizens? Wouldn't we say something like, what's wrong with those people? Well, I'm asking, you know what's wrong with us? Sin. That's what's wrong, Jesse. We've lost the sense of sin.
Terry, and this is what Sister Lucia said, that the final attack by Satan would be against the family.
Mm-hmm.
And that attack started again with the 1917 Russian Communist Revolution that took place, because it was an anti-God regime. It was an anti-God movement.
Mm-hmm.
They promoted socialism. They promoted atheism. They promoted abortion.
Yep.
And they also persecuted the Russian Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church back then.
Yep.
And so what we're seeing right now, Terry, we're seeing the effects. And I'll tell you, what's interesting is Putin hasn't bought into the Vladimir Lenin view of Russia. He certainly hasn't. I'll tell you, but these are the consequences, Terry, of Our Lady of Fatima, who warned us that Russia would spread her errors.
Yep.
If we don't, and let's talk about us, if we don't at least start become devoted to Our Lady and start praying the rosary every single day. Yes, Catholics and the popes are supposed to do their part, and God will judge them for that. I'm not in management, I'm in sales.
Yep.
But I know my part is to do the first five Saturdays, and my part is to pray the Holy Rosary, Terry, every single day, and be devoted to Our Lady. That's what I'm called.
And exactly, and I would encourage people to read the message of Fatima, go online. And I love what Our Lady said, because, you know, we're in the business of trying to help souls meet Jesus Christ so that when they die, they get to go to heaven. That's our whole purpose of Virgin Most Powerful. And that fits right in with what Our Lady said. She said, souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. Well, this is why we encourage you to live in that state of grace, because you can affect the salvation of souls around the world. Somebody in China, in India, when you make your prayers, indicate that to our Lord, that I want to offer this rosary up for the poor people in North Korea who are being persecuted by communist Chinese people. You know, why not offer these prayers? Because your prayers are valuable. And I think that what's happened, Jesse, is the world is telling you, get rid of God. Just do your own thing. That's what life's about. And it's a lie. And that's why we're going to be persecuted to speak the truth of the gospel, because the gospel is not going to be welcomed in a selfish culture that kills babies.
Terry, and I can tell you something that I know the left here is always trying to vilify Putin and Russia, and they're always trying to say that China's our friends.
Right.
It's quite the opposite. I'll tell you, Putin has definitely gone through a conversion. I've seen him kiss and venerate icons of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Right.
He always wears a Russian Orthodox cross. And I can tell you that, Putin says that the gay agenda, the LGBT flags, Pride Month, Pride parades will not be allowed in Russia. Again, he's calling for women to have more babies and paying a stipend. Putin is also, Terry, says no Sharia law in Russia. Here's what he says. He says, in Russia, we live like Russians. Any minority from anywhere, if they want to live in Russia, to work and eat in Russia, should speak Russian and should respect our laws. If they prefer Sharia law, then we advise them to go to places where that's the state law. Russia does not need minorities. A little bit of common sense,
wow.
Terry.
Yeah. You know what, Jesse? Hungary, the country of Hungary, said the same thing. He says, I don't suggest migration for people who don't want to buy into our Russian mindset. And I would say the same thing in America. Why are we bringing people over who hate America? If they hate us, then go back to their own country. Why should we? Because they're going to infect us with their poison. That's my take.
Yeah, Terry, and I'm going to tell you, Vladimir Putin,
yeah,
the man's going through a conversion. You
I
can't
so.
Deny it.
Yep.
And I think it's the prayers from so many Catholics
Must
praying
be.
For that country.
Hey, Jesse, yep. When we come back, Michael Voris from Church Militant is going to give us an update on the church and news that he does, a news program every single day that we want our listeners to come and join him each day. So that you're a high information Catholic and that you can pray for Holy Mother of the Church. Stay with us. We'll be back on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
The month of May is dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Don't forget to take your weapons, the rosary, and pray them every day. We've got every single Wednesday, we're going to have our Strength and Honor update with our friend, our brother in Christ, fellow soldier in the trenches, Michael Voris, is going to give us a quick update on what's happening in the church today. Michael, take it away.
And hey, guys, how are you? Good to see you. Good
morning
blessed. To you guys,
Michael,
out in California.
Before you start, I just want to make an endorsement that I feel strong after 42 years of fighting the fight. We want to be collaborating with organizations that are on the same page that we're on, meaning that we're trying to save souls so that people can get to souls can get to heaven for all eternity. And Church Militant has been doing that for a long time. And I want to encourage people, before you even say a word, Michael, to watch the news every single day on Church Militant so that they can be informed of what's going on in the church, so that they can be praying for Holy Mother of the Church, because the solution is always saints. We need more saints in the church.
Amen.
That's how we're going to get around this. So, Michael, I know you've got three big topics that you're going to be covering today. Why don't you share with our listeners what you're doing? I mean, you just recently started this. Give us a little background, please.
Sure. First of all, thank you very much, guys. I appreciate the plug and the chance to come on and
pleasure.
Tell people what we're doing here at Church Militant. You know, there's that great line in the scripture from the Lord God where he says, my people perish from lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And you nailed it. I mean, the idea is to be saints, to be working towards being saints, die in a state of grace, sanctifying grace. But unfortunately, the current conditions in the church, you know, exacerbated by the conditions in the world, obviously, as well. They have created a condition, a situation, an environment where that's just not a thought in people's minds. Everybody thinks they're going to heaven. We have a reasonable hope all men are saved. We'll skip that.
And, please.
You know, the point is, unless you know what's going on in the church and how all of this stuff going on in the church is depriving you as just regular faithful Catholics or even just, you know, nominal Catholics, depriving you of the truth, you have no idea that you're actually in some sort of contest here for your soul, a spiritual war that you need to be in and win. So we decided to put an awful lot of our efforts, an awful lot of our resources into talking about conditions in the world a lot, but most especially in the church, and how these two things have dovetailed together to simply lull Catholics to sleep, make you think everybody's going to heaven, or, you know, you have to be Adolf Hitler to go to hell and everybody else is fine and just floats on in. You know, the faith is lived out in the world, as Archbishop, Venerable Archbishop Fulton Sheen used to say, the world is the theater of redemption. And this is a fight. And unless you, if you think there's nothing to fight against or whatever, well, you know, so what we do every day is here at 6:30 Eastern time, and then shortly up, that's live. And then shortly after that, we're on playback until 6:30 the next day. Next business day, we have our Church Militant Evening News. I think we've gotten off to a pretty good start so far. We've been up since February for a couple months now, and I gotten good reaction. It's really interesting watching the comments because people from all over the world comment. I mean, we had one night, look at all these. This, you know, every continent was represented, and everybody's talking. Wow. Same thing you guys go through. You know the drill with this. So, so tonight, on tonight's Evening News, a couple stories we're actually working on right now. This is an exclusive to Church Militant. We got a tip from somebody in the UK who gave us the information, so we called up and checked on it. And this is a there is a bishop. His name, of course, his name would be Deacon Bishop Deacon Lang. He's from the Diocese of Clifton in Bristol. Is ordering priests in his diocese now to start saying gay mass, masses, whatever that is. I don't know what a gay mass is, but. You know, it's all, you know, the same old stuff you hear all the time. So we got him on the phone. We actually talked to the priest on the phone. He said, hey, this isn't my choice. The bishop ordered us all to do this. And by the way, this isn't just our diocese. This is three or four other dioceses somewhere in England or the UK as well. So we're chasing that story down. But it's probably going to be our lead story tonight, because the fact that bishops are actively saying you must do this, and priests are now having to sort of go along with it. You know, there's a parallel thing here. Of course, with like the case of Father James Altman and other priests here, you know, Father Altier just got canned in, or rather should say didn't get re-upped in the Diocese of Minneapolis. So, you know, you've got this whole string of cases that we've all been talking about on social media for the past 72 or 96 hours, where good priests are just getting sacked and canned because they refuse to go along with this agenda. We had in the studio here yesterday Father Mark White from Virginia, whose bishop is trying to actually get him kicked out of the priesthood.
Oh, no.
He's already locked him out of his parish over a year ago, and he filed papers with him to have him thrown out of the priesthood. He sent his what's called a votum. It's like his opinion. He sent that to the Congregation for Clergy in Rome and wants him thrown out of the priesthood, all because he objected to McCarrick and the lack of you know, oversight, and then the lack of candor that came out after the McCarrick report.
Mike, let me jump. Let me mention something. What we're seeing right now, what you just mentioned, these are the prophecies of Our Lady of Good Success, Our Lady of La Salette, and Our Lady of Akita, Japan, being played out before our eyes right now. If anybody ever thought, well, these prophecies that are approved by the church, you know, if you ever poo-pooed them, these prophecies are 100% accurate, and everything that's happening in the church right now was told to us by Our Lady. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, and, you know, if you think about it, this isn't a story we're covering. Well, we actually are covering tonight. I wasn't planning on talking about it with you, but Jesse, you just opened up the door for it very quickly. I mean, you look at what's going on within the bishops. I mean, you know, Archbishop Cordiglione today released a statement saying, "Oh, all this kind of warring among the bishops over the question of the Eucharist and, you know, pro-abortion politicians and all of that. You know, this is really breaking my heart. It's making me very sad and everything." I'm like, well, that's good. You know, Our Lady of Akita, you know, said that, you know, cardinals would disagree and, you know, war with cardinals and bishops with bishops and all of that. So, you know, I think what we are seeing here in the church right now is this culmination of, you know, certainly the last 50 or 60 years having come to the surface. And this is just sort of running its logical course now. But all of that was already going on kind of behind the scenes you know, just off stage, the laity weren't aware of it. We didn't really become aware of it until maybe the late 1960s or 1970s, depending on what part of the country you lived in the United States anyway. But this is what this is. You know, this is the church collapsing, and this is people choosing up sides. On the, you know, the political side of that, of course, is the presidency of Donald Trump, and you were on Catholics for Trump, Jesse. And, you know, you people got had to make a political choice.
Yep.
And, you know, half of Republicans don't believe Joe Biden's the president. They believe Trump won the presidency.
Right.
So your people are choosing up sides, and that's also happening in the church. And I would say it's happening in the culture because it first started happening in the church.
Michael, let me just jump in too for a second, because I want to endorse also the not only the news that you guys have, but all the resources Church Militant has. Do you just take a minute, not only the news, but what else can you offer that it will build the people's faith up? Because you have a lot to offer.
Oh, absolutely. On our, we do a number of shows that, or a number of programs or episodes where we touch on a whole variety of things theologically.
Right.
I mean, rarely do we just say, hey, here's this point, and not try to put it in the context of your soul and church teaching and that kind of thing. But our premium content, we have thousands and thousands of episodes of hundreds of different things that we cover that are all related directly to the faith. I mean, some of it is just straight up theology, straight up philosophy. You know, the church teaching this is church history. It's apologetics. It's all of that. And we, you know, we try to contribute to that as much as we can as well. But it's a lot of work. I mean, you can't see everybody behind me here because the shot is tight. But, you know, we got 50 people sitting in here grinding this stuff out every day, you know, on the phone, on with sources. And we've got a crew coming back, which is actually my second little story I wanted to touch on about
Dallas.
Got a crew coming back from Dallas. You know, it was down there yesterday. Bishop.
We just got a little bit of a breakup. I think he's going to be talking about the Dallas pro-life protest, I think. Michael, are you with us still? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, it's the he's going to talk about the Dallas pro-life protest at Bishop's, at I guess, I don't know what the name of the bishop is there, but they're having a George Floyd remembrance mass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, I got no problem with praying for the dead. Of course, we're called to do that. But are you, this is political, Terry, a George Floyd remembrance mass. I mean, I don't know, is he up for canonization? Is he venerable or servant of God?
Is he an example heroic virtue?
Exactly. No, the guy, rest in peace, he was a career criminal. Pray for his soul, but to make him the centerpiece of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, that's left for people, like you said, Terry, a funeral Mass, or somebody who's being canonized because they've showed heroic virtue, not a criminal record of 20 years in and out of prison.
Yeah, very well said. And again, just go to churchmilitant.com and you can watch the news there. And I think if you once you start doing it, you'll shut the secular news off. And I really already recommended, Jess and I have been saying that, don't watch the typical news reports. Go to get your church news from Church Militant.
That's right.
I mean, even, you know, there's a lot of good resources out there, and that's what we're encouraging. And that's why we at Virgin Most Powerful have Michael coming on once a week to encourage people to brush up on their faith and to brush up on what's going on in the world so that you're a high information Catholic.
Yeah, that's indispensable for me. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to be open with everybody.
Yeah.
I used to watch Fox News in the evening. Mm-hmm. I hardly watch it.
Yeah.
I now watch every night my 30 minutes of Church Militant. I get everything I need to know.
Right.
I used to watch. Sometimes I'll watch Newsmax. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I'll watch it. But I don't miss Church Militant. That one is where I get my Catholic source of information. Newsmax, I'll hit and miss that. And sometimes I'll watch, you know, Tucker, Hannity, and Laura just, you know, sporadically for a few minutes. But Church Militant is indispensable for my continual understanding of what's happening in the world.
We've got Michael Vorse back. Michael, there's another story about something going on in Detroit. Can you share that with us, please?
Sure. That is the priest here who set up Father Perone. The priest who was removed from the traditional parish of Assumption Grotto as pastor a little over a year, actually going on 2 years ago. The priest behind that, the Monsignor behind that, is Monsignor Michael Bugarin. He made up a story, complete lie, had Father Perone removed. He is now, of course, joining the whole woke crowd as well. He's opened up his parish, St. Joan of Arc, in St. Clair Shores to be a parish where you can go get your COVID vaccination and, you know, fight the whole thing and put your face diaper on and all that crazy stuff that you got to do. And, you know, and it's interesting that, you know, here in Detroit, I mean, this just goes to show, I mean, there's protests out there, gosh, about every month. Out in front of his parish almost every month about mostly about the Father Perone situation, but other things too. They don't care. These guys have the gall of Satan.
Yeah, I agree.
Stand there and keep saying everything, and they don't care what you say in response. They're never accountable.
Amen. Michael Vorse, thanks for joining us. Go to the Church Militant. Watch the news every single day. Get in a holy habit of watching news on Church Militant. Michael, thanks again for joining us. Hey, Michael, I'm going to ask you a last question. What state should we be living in, brother?
Say it again.
What state should we be living in? See if you pick up on it. A state of grace, brother.
A state of grace. I'm sorry. I'm right. A state of grace, hopefully in a red state.
There you go, brother. Thanks again. We'll look forward to catching up with you next week. Same time, same station. God love you,
God
brother.
God bless, guys. Thank you.
Thanks.
You got it.
Yes, wrap it up.
Live in a state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Pray a rosary every day. Go to Mass as often as possible. Read your Bible every day. God love you.